Today on Real Radio.
You know, we use this statement, oh, the cat's out of the bag. Jesus makes this announcement. These are the characteristics of the kingdom. Having said that, the scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. And the word implies, from this moment on, the cat's out of the bag.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at chapter 4, where the divine Messiah returns from the wilderness and being tempted directly by Satan himself. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What You Should Know About Jesus.
When Jesus Christ came the first time, he announces the kingdom, and there's a comma. And that comma has held back the judgment of God for the last 2,000 years. When the second coming happens, when Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 19, comes out of heaven with the church, that comma is going to be released and the vengeance of God will be unleashed upon the earth. So read your Bible carefully. Watch every period, every comma. Didn't Jesus say, I've come? And not one jot or one tittle, that is the Hebrew language, a little hyphen or a little comma, will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Thank God he stopped at that comma. You and I would have been in deep trouble if he wouldn't have stopped at that comma. And so, look at our third and final point. What you should know about Jesus Christ is this, that people were going to hear about him. They heard of him, casually. They heard from him, had to be awesome. They now heard his message, this wonderful declaration of setting people free and releasing them. And if you're taking notes, the announcement was to preach the gospel to the poor. Number two, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate those that are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the now. The now. Isn't that amazing? More on that in a moment. As we looked at this portion, verses 20 to 22, the people were going to hear about him, all right? Well, look at verses 20 to 21. The people, or I should say, the Bible is about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. Look what it says. Then he closed the book. The word technically is he didn't have a book like you and I have a book. You know, he rolled up the scroll. It's a scroll. He rolled up the scroll. And he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And that's a beautiful thing. Look at this. You guys, their eyes fixed upon him means to gawk. You know, gawk. Stop gawking, your mom would say to you. Stop staring. It means the people are like this. Their mouths are wide open. Their eyes are huge. They're like, and in this amazing moment, they were hearing from Jesus. His fame had been spread abroad. He was there in their midst. But he's speaking. He quotes the Bible, reads the Bible with incredible authority. It's coming to life just with him speaking it. All of our eyes were fixed on him. We'd never heard anything like this before. There was a hush and a silence in the synagogue. And because of who he is, the people were expecting something to happen any moment. Wherever Jesus is, there's no boredom. Wherever Jesus is, something's going to happen. And so their eyes were fastened upon him, and their mouths were open, and their eyes were huge. And so would have been our eyes and mouths if we would have been there. And he says something that absolutely would have had to freak you out. He says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's it. This is going to set the whole rest of this ministry of Jesus is on fire. He quotes the scripture. And somebody in the back, they might have even given him, you know, the golfer's clap. Have you ever seen the golfer's clap? It's like this. Courtesy clap. Oh, so nice. That was a nice reading. Didn't he read nice? I thought it was very nice what he read. It's very nice, and he said it so nice. Oh, cheerio. Just super duper, Jesus. That's really great. Everything's fine. You know what? Up until this moment, it could have been a mixed multitude. Nobody would have known. Until he says this. Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You're hearing about it because it's happening now. Can you imagine the elbows going? What? Did you hear him? This is amazing. He's saying, I'm the anointed one. The one that's going to set the captives free, it's me. The one that's going to heal the brokenhearted, it's me. You see why? From this moment on, people plotted on killing him. You say, well, why would they kill him? Is this good news? That's exactly the closing argument of this message today. Why would they scheme such a silly thing? His fame was everywhere. People knew that he changed lives. His words were wonderful words. So what's the problem? And I'm asking you, so what's the problem? He still changes lives. His words are wonderful. He says, the word, the Bible's about me. So what's your problem with him? You see, the fact when Jesus says that he's the one, people who are in great need, they say, thank you, God, for sending us deliverance. But there are those who say, you know, I can do this on my own. Thank you. I mean, it's nice for some people. Maybe some of you weak people, Jack. It's good for you. But I can do this on my own. You see, Jesus' very existence flies in the face of pride. His very name implies that you need him. That's why the world hates him today. The world hates him today because his very name, which isn't even mentioned in a movie, causes people to write nasty criticisms about him because it could mean something about us needing this Jesus. And that is just too offensive. Today's the scripture fulfilled in your hearing. The Bible says in John 5:39, Jesus said it to the Pharisees. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which do testify of me. Isn't that something? The Bible speaks about me, Jesus says. In Psalm 40 and in Hebrews 10, the Bible says, behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of him. What do you think of that? In Luke chapter 24, verse 25, Jesus said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, should not have Christ suffered these things before he enters into his glory? And from the beginning of Moses, that's Genesis, through the prophets, Jesus expounded to them from the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Bible was written about Jesus. Look at your Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it's not about anyone else except Jesus. It's all about Jesus. How do you handle that? What do you do with that? You can argue with it all you want. Go ahead and form your opinion. It just needs to be biblical. Well, who says? God. In the end, he's the judge. Is your opinion of Christ biblical? Well, I don't know. I kind of pick and choose what I like. Then it's not biblical. The Bible does not contain God's word. The Bible is God's word. There's a big difference. You can't pick and choose. Now look, listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul agrees with Luke. Paul says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I received from Christ, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures, the Bible. Acts chapter 17 says, and Paul the apostle reasoned among them for three Sabbath days, reasoning with them from the scriptures and explaining and demonstrating to them concerning Christ and that Jesus, whom they preached, was indeed the Christ. Amazing. See, your opinion is being formed about Jesus. And I want to challenge you, which way is that opinion going? Verse 21, people were not only going to be hearing about him and hearing of him and hearing from him, but look at verse 21. The beautiful thing that they're going to hear about Jesus and from Jesus is that Jesus is, listen, about us. He's about you. He's about you and I. You say, what do you mean? It says, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. And what you don't get in a casual read is what's implied here in the scripture. 2,000 years ago when Jesus announced this, you know we use this statement, oh, the cat's out of the bag. What does that mean? Well, have you ever tried to put a cat back inside of a bag? Try it, and it's not going to happen. That's like putting toothpaste back inside the tube. It's not going to happen. Jesus makes this announcement. These are the characteristics of the kingdom. And having said that, the scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. And the word implies, from this moment on, the cat's out of the bag. The gospel will be preached until the end. Which means, in a true biblical meaning, today is this hearing in your ears. On this 29th day of this month. They say, nah, I don't know. What was he saying anyway? What? Be careful. When the message announces that Jesus does these things, you need to respond. Watch this. He says that he's come to preach the gospel to the poor. The word is monetarily distressed. Those are poverty stricken. Jesus says the word goes to them. Do you have a problem with that, anybody? Do you have a problem with Jesus preaching to poor people? If you have a problem with that, you're a real weirdo. Number two, he says he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The word brokenhearted in Greek means emotionally devastated or severely hurt feelings. Have you ever been emotionally devastated or had severely hurt feelings? The Bible says, Jesus says, I've come to take care of that. Do you have a problem with that? He says, I've come to fix that brokenness in your heart. Wow. He says, I've come to proclaim liberty to those that are captive. The word means to free you from guilt, to set you free. That's exactly what we need. He says, the Spirit of God has sent me to bring recovery of sight to the blind. This is amazing. The word in the Greek and in the Hebrew, Isaiah 61, it means, my Father has sent me to heal you so you can see again. Did you hear that? So you can see what? Again. It's amazing. It means, humanity, listen to me. You're going to do better because if you accept me, I'm going to allow you to see like man was supposed to see back then. You can see now. You can see again. What's he referring to? When Adam and Eve walked face to face with God? Spiritually, you're going to be walking with God. You'll be able to see again. Isn't that exciting? Liberty. To bring those to liberty who are oppressed. The word oppressed means wrecked by life, crashed, wrecked by life. It's the thought of a cart going down the hill and crashing into a wall. There's people in this audience, an audience this size, that have felt like that. My life is crashed. There's no hope for me. My life's over. Everything I've touched, I've ruined. You're broken, aren't you? I am broken. Jesus says, I've come to heal that in your life, and I've come to set your life on a course that will not crash. That's what I do, Jesus says. That's what I love to do. What's wrong with that? You see, people form their opinions. Oh, this Jesus. They don't even know who they're speaking about. They don't even know him. Don't give me that Jesus. What do you have against him? And in my life, when I've talked to people, don't give me that Jesus. Why? What's a problem? Listen to this. I went to church once, and the pastor ripped me off. I went to church once, and my Sunday school teacher slapped me. I went to church once, and, you know, everyone's got their excuse. you know what? I didn't ask you about your church. Jesus is not asking you, how's it going? He's telling you, I'll fix it. And when you look to people, and when you look to churches, and you look to things, it'll never work. Did you know God made it that way? You look to people and things, it will never work. You've got to look to Jesus. You've got to hang on to Jesus. He's the one. And yet people misinterpret the name Jesus because they look at something that happened to them in some spiritual work. And then they take that ill that man has done to them, be it justified or not, if their perception of it is right or wrong. No one will ever know, but God knows. Go to Jesus. What is it, my friend, this morning you would have against him? Whatever it is a pathetic argument because he loves you. Imagine for a moment when he announces to proclaim to you the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus is saying, I am now announcing to you that now's the time. He challenges the people. Now's the time. And this is another thing we hate. Don't pressure me. Don't push me. You know how we are? Don't push me. You need to buy this today. There's only three left or two left. See, I got a bad attitude about that kind of salesmanship. You know it. I always say, well, you ought to buy this car today, Jack. There's a family coming down, right? They'll be in about an hour. You ought to buy it. I say to them, well, you know what? If they're coming, are they coming down? Yes, they're coming down. You go and we'll see the guy's nose grow. They're coming down. Yeah, so you better buy it now. Well, if they're coming down, I don't want to disappoint them. I'll see you later. All right? If God's in it, don't worry about it. Pressure doesn't mean it's necessarily bad, though. God puts the pressure on us. And you know what's funny? We either get bitter or we'll get better. You know, when the sun comes up, it'll melt the wax or it'll harden the clay. The sun doesn't change. What are you made of? Are you and I willing today to say, you know what, I need this, Jesus. This is what I need. And I thought about this for a moment. And every time you hear the good news about Jesus Christ, that he loves you, he died on the cross for your sins and my sins, he rose again from the dead, you know that. He's holy. He's God in human skin. And if anybody wants to cuss, they ask God to damn this thing or to damn that thing, and they invoke the other. Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that, right? Think about it. If you know about him, if you've heard of him, you've heard about his power. You've heard about his fame. Now you've even heard his words. What are you going to do with them? Something you should know about Jesus. The Bible says, God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Do you know what that means? My spirit will not always put up with you, God says. I thank God he put up with me for a long time. But God says, I will not always put up with you. God says in the Bible, turn ye, for why will you perish, saith the Lord. So he loved you, but he won't put up with you forever. Now watch, and we conclude. I thought about this. We're getting amazing responses around the world from the radio program. Maybe you've heard about Jesus on a radio program. What are you doing about that? No, I don't want to hear about that. Turn the channel. You just punched the button. Did you realize how incredibly responsible this is? To reach over and press the button, it changes the channel. Well, how come you did that? I don't want to hear about Jesus. Did you know God records that? He doesn't want to hear about me. So his hand withdraws. And then God reaches out again. And maybe you hear it in a message. And the message says, Jesus died for you. And you find that offensive. So you get up and you walk out. Or you just keep going. Or whatever it is, you just shut it off. God's hand recoils back even more. Are you with me, everybody? You and I are just like this. We get slapped enough and we don't reach out anymore. Maybe thirdly, we're driving down the freeway, see a billboard, and it says, Jesus rose again from the dead for you. And we say, well, that is ridiculous. And his hand is slapped again. How long do you expect him to keep reaching out? He says, I will not always do this. I will not always reach out to you. You've already heard it this morning. There's some fool wearing a red shirt standing in this pulpit today saying to you that God loves you. And you go, that's ridiculous. I don't need God's love. And God's hand goes back even further now. You're no different than Pharaoh. If that's your heart today and you're resisting, the Bible says he was often rebuked, will harden his heart, and he shall be taken away, and that without remedy. I pray that there's no one in this room today that's of that spirit. But do you realize for something? You say, Jack, I don't understand why you went this way in the end of this message, because it's exactly how it ends. Did you know that? Verse 22, and we're done. So all bore witness of him. Look at that. They bore witness. We saw him. We heard him. Pretty amazing. And they marveled. Our mouths fell open. What a great show. They marveled at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. The Greek is they marveled at the words of grace. So you can't say you have that against Jesus. Just fire and brimstone and throwing lightning bolts at me all the time. Not Jesus. Gracious words to you. And here's the real kick. And they said, here's their opinion. Are you ready? Watch, everyone look at your Bible. Don't look at me. Verse 22. And they said, let's accept Jesus Christ now. No. And they said, raise our hands and receive his love. No. They said, is this not Joseph's son? Oh, after all this, they missed it. Did you know there's a horrible, horrible meaning to this? After all of this, he pours out his heart to them and he tells them, this is who and what I am. This is what I do. And they're going, wow, isn't that great? Oh, so great. Amazing. That's good for some people. Wow, it's tremendous. Oh, anyway, isn't this Joseph's son? They missed him. You can be just like that today. You can be all religious. And you can say, my, that's a great, great, wonderful thing Jesus said. But after all, to you, is he just Joseph's son? He was never Joseph's son. There wasn't one drop of Joseph's DNA in him. He's the son of God. What's your opinion of him? I have my opinion of him. It's been formed by Scripture. I'm so excited. I'm going to heaven. You form your opinion based upon, I don't know, I hope the Bible. But whatever opinion you form determines your destination. You're getting the ticket. One way or the other. First class or coach. Smoking, non-smoking. Life or death, heaven or hell. He states his word, and you must respond.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called What You Should Know About Jesus, a study taken from Luke chapter 4 and verses 14 through 22. Now, we've recently concluded Pastor Jack's series within a series on temptation, and it's available in a convenient 4-CD set. Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. Just ask for the Temptation CD series. You can find out more by visiting us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free number, 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. You can also send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.